Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Welcome, I'm Stephen Lewis, and you're listening to Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. I'm a tarot reader over at PsychicAccess.com, and I'm also joined tonight by a very special panel of psychics. First, we have Satya. Hi, Satya, how are you?
I'm great, Stephen. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Happy to be here.
Well, can you tell us what you do at PsychicAccess.com, please?
Well, I am a medium. I'm intuitive. I'm an empath. So I primarily communicate with people's guides and loved ones, and that's where I get my information. And I'm able to tap into people's life contract, life review, and Akashic records.
Ah, yes. That's one thing that really interests me a lot, the Akashic records. And I remember last week you accessed those, and I was just really impressed. I had never really seen that technique demonstrated. So it's really great to have you here, and we look forward to seeing what you can do, Satya.
Thank you.
Well, Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
Fine. You're not going to do boy-girl?
Well, seeing that you're the pillar of Psychic Viewpoint, you've been a respected panelist on this show for a long time, so the pillar has to be in the middle, right?
Yeah, you've aged me quite a bit. Thank you, Stephen.
Impossible.
Just so sweet. Yes, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Glad to hear that. Glad to have you here, first of all. And well, for those in the audience who don't know about your psychic specialties, please enlighten us.
Okay, I do. I will certainly do so. I am an intuitive psychic empath. Tarot I use as my main tool, absolutely, because the fact that it's a symbolic record of human experience, and I take my work very seriously, but I have a great sense of humor, and I'm really, really well versed in spiritual development and other things too as well.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you do have a lovely sense of humor. You keep things lively on this end over here.
Yeah.
And anybody can find Maureen at PsychicAccess.com. And last but definitely not least is a man I'm proud to call a colleague and a friend, a spiritualist that I admire and respect. Also at PsychicAccess.com, we have Stephen Frampton. How are you tonight, Steve?
I'm doing well, thank you, Stephen. Apart from my voice being croaky there at the beginning of my introduction. I'm doing well. It's spring and it feels great.
Yeah, it pollened outside today, so my throat's a little scratchy too.
Yes. Well,
enlighten us about what it is you do at PsychicAccess.com, please.
I'm a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer.
Ah, very good, very good. Well, tonight, obviously, the topic is tarot. The tarot is the star tonight. We have Jenny Perlstein with us here. She's going to talk to you tonight about two things that are very important to us over here at Psychic Viewpoint. The tarot and trauma, all the bad stuff. The tarot is mysterious, powerful, life-changing. Trauma is just an ugly fact of life, but we hope tonight that by exploring the darker side of fate, that we'll accidentally find what it is we've been looking for all along, joy, peace, and comfort. So if you ever read tarot for yourself or your family or your friends, this show is for you. Jenny Perlstein is about to teach you how to recognize pain in the tarot and happiness and achievement in the tarot. You can find out more about Jenny at tarotastrocounseling.com.au. And I do believe we have Jenny with us tonight. Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Good. I'm very well, thank you. It's good morning for me. Good evening to you.
That's right. That's right. You're over there in Australia. Well, good morning to you. Well, let's go ahead and get started here. You are a therapist, a licensed therapist with a bunch of academic titles and degrees after your name. Really too many to mention here. There's just so many. So you're highly educated and also a tarotist. So let's talk about the major arcana for a bit. Can you just tell us a little bit about some major arcana cards that you find cause some problems maybe with your clients or in general?
Yes, I think that there's a difference between what's a problem for the reader and what's a problem for the client when they see the cards come up. In fact, I was at a TarotCon convention here in Melbourne at the weekend, and as soon as the teacher mentioned, oh yes, the client's reaction to the death card or the devil, the whole audience, we all just went, yes, we know. clients so often see those cards and jump ahead, you know, thinking, oh, it's going to be disastrous and so on. And I think that they're often challenges for the reader and the client. But I think that, you know, the key things there, of course, are to say to people that it depends on the question, it depends on the context, it depends on the type of reading you're doing, but getting the client to see that, as you will say, you know, it's okay, we get to that. And reassure them, and I often very simply say, look, death is about transformation, and yes, there might be some pain, there might be some grief and loss, and this may be either picking up on something that they've been through, going through, or a situation that might develop that way. And I really try to get across to them that it's a way of cleansing out themselves and their life, and letting go of some things that might be challenging to them, and that the devil card really is all about fear, and by facing the illusion of that fear, you can often confront what's really holding you back and what's a deep challenge for you on that level. Often, I think for many of us, the devil can represent things that are addictive, which can include, I think a lot of people don't recognize that, you know, relationships can be addictive, codependency. It's not just your alcohol and drugs, it's food, it's addiction to being just with other people, that you can't cope with being alone. There's a whole range of aspects. So I try to reassure people, but it's also then trying to get across to them too that they have some resources within, and often the card can pick up on that. And, you know, for example, the death card, I'll go into the actual characters on the card and say, how is each person responding, you know, to the approaching death or change that might be occurring? And we explore that further. So that's most of the time people, you can see the relief on their face as I explain that, and they relax, and whilst they still need to, you know, it's not trying to take away that it's all lovely and fluffy. It's trying to get across to them, yeah, there are challenges and there might be pain, and you're not going to change within unless you do have pain. But it's something they can cope with, they have the resources within to cope with.
Well, you know, let's say that I'm doing a reading for a coworker. We're probably going to use the coworker a lot because I think that might be a general situation people might use. Maybe a novice might use. And there are a whole bunch of court cards in this. Let's say the coworker asked me perhaps a relationship question, or even a question about their career. And there are a bunch of court cards in the spread. These can be confusing. How would you approach these, all those court cards?
Yeah, people often get challenged by the court cards. It's strange because I suppose I've never found them to be such a great challenge. My approach to them is, as always, it's looking at them. You need to look at the overview of the reading. You know, what cards are there? What's the question? What's the question the person's asking? And just even just initially seeing how many court cards there might be, and if there's quite a few, then that often can represent that. Both, it could be something within the person themselves, the asker or the reader, the client. The person asking the questions or the client. But it could also mean another person. But I suppose because I'm a tarot counsellor, I'm very aware of things like projection. So that, for example, say the King of Wands comes up and you're talking to a work colleague and they're asking about relationship, and you might say, this is a person with charm and who's assured of themselves and is very visionary, courageous, and so on. And sometimes that can represent, and they go, oh yeah, I think that describes the person I'm quite interested in. Mm-hmm. And then I try to reflect it back to the person and say, but what is it within you that is like that? Mm-hmm. And what are you projecting out onto this person that, you know, you are feeling attracted to? So that's just an example of how I might work with the court cards. But I do sometimes use them as very literal. You know, if I say, is there a person that has these characteristics that's around in your life? And sometimes they'll say, no, not that I'm aware of. Well, then I focus on what's within the person themselves. So that's the way I tend to work with the court cards, and it can, and I don't stick, depending on the context of the reading, what's going on there. Sure. I will sometimes switch between, it can be both things. It could represent an outer person and an aspect of the person within themselves.
So just to be clear here, you have sort of like a twin approach. The court card could represent an actual player or an actor in this drama, but it could also be a part of myself that I wish that I had or that I hate about myself and that I'm putting out on other people.
Yes, that's right. Also, absolutely.
And you're also saying that you freely go between these two applications in the to see which one makes the most sense and apply it.
Sense, yes. Yeah, because I approached my readings very much as a dialogue with the client. And right. and I don't have absolutely all the answers. So sometimes if we're both really stuck, I will say, when you look at this card, what comes up for you? And by sometimes exploring it that way too and noticing what's in the card, because some of the cards can have some details that can really speak to a person and may inform the situation. You know, how the person, particularly in the court card, how they're dressed, what direction they're looking. Some of the court cards, the person, the character is looking away. So the person, the client may interpret that as, yes, I really like them, but they just don't seem interested in me.
Sure.
And that can be another way to work with them.
That's a very clear way of handling what's always been kind of a very cloudy subject in the tarot, for sure. Now, As we went over, as I said, a lot of us are going to be reading for our family and our friends. And, you know, you are a therapist, a counselor, and this is something different from the tarot. So are there any, like, just rough, broad sort of guidelines to help us out in just dealing with this, our loved one, or maybe even a client, in a way that's the most effective?
Yes, I think that certainly there's a bit of a difference between working with people that you know, family, friends, and those, you know, if you're sitting in a market or you have people coming to your office or wherever you work from and who you know nothing about. I think, though, the same principles apply, that you need to set very clear boundaries. And I think particularly with family and friends and with general clients, confidentiality, saying, look, what we talk about stays here. If some of you, the audience might be, I don't know, old enough to remember Get Smart and the cone of silence. And I sometimes use that imagery. I say, right, we are bringing down the cone of silence and what goes on between us stays here. And particularly when you're working with family and friends, that's extremely important because they might be worried you're going to go off and, you know, talk to someone or hint at something. And I'm very careful with that myself. If I get a friend or family member and I just say, look, it's like I forget everything we've talked about after the reading. So don't worry. It's confidential. There are some areas that can be difficult. I think this is the caution I would say. Yes, whilst it's great for practicing with family and friends, there are sometimes areas where you go, you feel in yourself, oh, I don't want to go there. I don't want to ask about that issue. You know, it's their, you know, their relationship with my uncle or whoever it is. So sometimes I think it's important to just, what I use there is immediacy and go, look, I know you've got issues. What's coming up here? There are issues in your relationship with your husband, you know, and that's my uncle. And I think it's better maybe we don't talk about that. Yeah, you know, set some boundaries or say to the person, ask them, look, I know this is a difficult issue for you and I know a little bit about it, but I don't know the full picture and it's up to you whether you want to reveal those things to me. So always put it back to the client. Give them a sense of empowerment and control. If it's someone in your family or friends, they may go, yeah, we're probably better to leave that. Or, no, I'm happy for you to know more detail. So that's important. But you can use those same principles with anybody you're doing a reading for.
Beautiful, beautiful. It's one thing you really bring up here. I like how you emphasize that this is a mutual investigation where you yes. are the detective and also the asker, the seeker, is also the detective. And that sort of leads me to my next question, because the way you're doing tarot is effective. This isn't a parlor trick. So let's suppose you're observing me giving an asker a tarot reading. Maybe it's a friend, mm-hmm. maybe it's a client, who knows. Now, suppose the tarot leads us to a brutal truth for that poor asker. The asker doesn't want to hear it. It's something that the asker, she may have assumed that she knew everything about already, but the tarot hits her with something contrary to her assumptions, shocks her. Now, let's imagine you could step in at that moment. What would you say to me to help me be the most effective and to serve this asker's best interests? And what might you say to the asker?
Okay. Well, what I would say is it's okay to pause. And if something that is a shock to the client comes up, to just take a breath, pause, and allow that that new knowledge, that impact, to sit with the client. And that it's okay for you to stop and observe the person. Because I think that, you know, those sort of shocks, different people react differently. And you need a little bit of time to both allow for that to sink in for the client, but also for you as the asker, as the reader, to observe what's happening for the client. How, you know, body language, communication, words are only 7% of communication. Most communication is body language and tone and pitch of voice. And I'm sure we've all experienced it where you can just see the facial expression on a client change, even a tear come to the eye, and the colour drain out of the person's face. That is telling you so much. It really is a shock. They are really emotionally challenged by this. So it's important that you mirror that. You sit back and just respect what they're feeling. And then as it maybe penetrates, to say to them, gee, I've just noticed that's really been a surprise to you. Or I can see that's shocked you. Or you're looking pretty sad at about that information. So be immediate, but also empathic. And so step into their shoes and pick up as best you can what they're feeling. And that's really, in a sense, because I see a reading as both like a seesaw moving between the cards and counselling. So it's this sort of seesaw depending on what's happening for that particular client. And in that moment, you know, I would be sitting back from the cards, not focusing on the cards, sitting back and really focusing on the person. And then offering that empathy. And from that, often then the person, when you've empathised with them and said, wow, that's been a shock for you, they will often go, yeah, I really, you know, hadn't realised this was going on, or that truth about myself, or whatever the situation is. And then that will open up the dialogue. But it's also important to assess how distressed the person is, because we also need a degree of what I call ego strength. We need our own inner container to cope. And I've had clients who, where they've been distressed with something, and I have assessed that they're just so fragile, so vulnerable, that I've focused on very much being supportive and focusing on positives, and sometimes moving right away from what the cards are saying and really just being with the person and exploring what's happening for them, and maybe even considering further referral or ongoing support for them.
Very interesting. Now, so we talked about one end of the seesaw, how I should handle this situation. Okay, do you have any words of advice for someone who is maybe confronted with something that is shocking like that, something that, that maybe challenges them to think about their entire self-definition with an open mind? Do you have any tips for that person who's been led to this shock by the tarot?
Yeah, I think... again, acknowledging and being immediate and saying that has been huge for you. I can see that that's really impacted upon you. And asking very general questions like, how is that making you feel? What's your sense of where this might go next for you? How is this changing your perspective on this situation? And really allowing the person to sit with it and express how they feel and letting that flow. I think the important thing is giving that person space to express how they feel. And if they're sitting there looking shocked and in silence and you can see they're processing it, that's fine. If they start talking... just continuing to mirror and empathize. It also, as I said, may lead to then where the person is very distressed and then saying to them, look, this is obviously a pretty big situation for you and challenging. How would you feel if we explore what other supports you might be able to access? Whether that's, you know, and I say to people, look, I'm not trying to get more money out of you or anything, but if you need to come back and see me again, or saying to them, what's your plan after you leave here today? What's the next steps for you? And they might say, oh, I'm going back to work, or I'm going home, and I'll try to gauge, you know, what other support they have in their life. Is there a friend, a family member they can speak to? And then we may talk about an actual referral to ongoing further counselling, if it's a more medical health issue, seeing their doctor, etc. And making sure they might, for example, if it's really a crisis situation, I may even, with them, go online or look at my own resources to, say, refer them to other supports. It could be anything from, you know, domestic violence supports to more specialised counselling, depending on what the issue is.
I might add also that you are peculiarly qualified to do precisely this, licensed by the authorities in your area. And so you remind me, if you don't mind me observing this, sort of like Father Karras. Father Karras from the novel The Exorcist, who on the one hand, he's a priest, but on the other hand, he's also a physician. And while he's attending to Reagan, he's also noticing things like her heart rate and things like that. But again, you're also a tarot reader. Every tarot reader, I asked them this question, and you've come all this way from tarotastrocounseling.com.au. So I have to ask you, do you use reverse cards or do you tend to ignore them?
I don't use them. It's really quite an interesting topic because there are some very knowledgeable and experienced readers that I respect who do, and many others who don't. My teacher, Anne Chodder, who was I got taught the tarot cards many years ago, but who's a very respected reader and teacher in Australia, she doesn't use reverse cards, and I tend to go along with that because I think the cards each are complex enough in their own selves. They have so many levels that you can interpret the literal level right through to the more esoteric and spiritual levels. And they are, I don't really like to use, you know, positive and negative, it's a bit too dualistic, but in that sense that each card has both its positive and negative, or, you know, more, I suppose, life-affirming and challenging aspects. And there's enough meaning and complexity and depth in each card without adding reversals to it.
That makes sense. The tarot has a way of saying the same thing with the cards already right oriented the right way up, so why make it more complex? That makes sense.
Yep.
Well, that sort of leads me to my next question here. Do you have a particular favorite tarot card, or maybe is there one that sort of leaps out at you, one that you can relate to more than another? I hate to ask you to play favorites here, but
I think that's very valid. I think every person, you know, the cards are so visual and so full of myth and archetypes and symbols that, of course, you feel drawn. I particularly feel drawn to the star. It just gives such a sense of hope and peace and is so centering and calming. You can be in a most angst-filled situation and meditate and look at that card, and it can already, you just feel the spirit flowing through you and calming you and able to give you some sort of sense of clarity in that whatever situation you're in has a purpose and a meaning in whatever life is throwing at you at that time. So that's probably my favorite card.
Yeah, I have to admit, I love that one too. That's a definite green flag sort of card for me. When I see that, then I tend to think that things are going to turn out well, which sort of brings us to our next part of this interview here. I'd like to talk about some red flags and some green flags for some common questions that people might have. And obviously, probably get a lot of relationship questions for family, business partnerships, romantic partnerships. So when you do a spread for a relationship type of a question, what sorts of green flags and do you hope to see, and what sort of red flags do you hope not to see?
I think we all go, oh. Which is, I have to do a little bit of promotion here, because one of the things that I've done is a specific masterclass, The Secret Ingredients of Relationship Readings. And that's on, I think I've sent you the link on Global Spiritual Studies, where I have a lot of my courses online, because I do a whole a large course on counseling and mental health skills, as well as shorter courses on secret ingredients to relationship readings, difficult clients, and other topics that I've got there. So, but on that question of relationships, what I like to see, I think, is first of all, generally, I suppose, the more positive cards, if we can use those terms, so that where there's cards that are indicating flow and openness, and that might be the star, it might be the magician, there might be the nine of pentacles, these sort of cards that have a sense of openness and some stability, and have lots of pictures of gardens and things in them. So if you're using those very just visual symbols. And then drilling down, of course we like to see the Four of Wands, the Two of Wands, not so much the Two of Wands, sorry, but the Four of Wands, the partnership. We also might like the Lovers, you know, that. But sometimes the Lovers, that's one of those ones where you initially go, oh, yeah, that's very positive and looks great for a relationship, but it is also has a deeper level of having to make a choice and having to, really work hard at integration. So it can represent also a challenge in really deepening that relationship. So there's some of the cards that might come up that I go, oh, yes. Or you get, say, the Empress and the Emperor together. Those sort of cards, you might go, yes, oh, that bodes well. But some, yeah, as the other cards that are more problematic, more challenging, particularly if the devil comes up, I'm always concerned about a real, it's either a one-sided relationship or a tendency for codependence. And the way I term codependence is where you have, rather than an adult-to-adult relationship, you have a parent-child relationship going on. Where one person acts like the parent and the other one's like the dependent child. And sometimes that switches around, but it's not balanced. So any cards that indicate not having a balance in relation to relationship questions can indicate some challenges and some problems.
Yes, I noticed that with a lot of the sort of green flag cards that you mentioned, a lot of them, like you said, they have green stuff on them, symbols for fertility, you know?
Yes.
And cards like the devil card, it's going to really be hard to find green stuff in them. There's not that much fertility in a relationship where there's like some sort of addiction going on. I think you mentioned that term in connection with the devil card as well, addiction. And things of that nature. So I would imagine if you're at home doing a relationship question for your friend or family member and you see cards with a bunch of flowers and green stuff in them, then that's a fairly clear indication that we can expect something nice here.
Yes.
You know, am I on the right track with this?
Yeah, generally. I mean, I think, again, it depends on the balance of the cards that you have, the elements, and specifically, as we've mentioned, you know, there's a few cards that indicate more the love or relationship or something new happening. It may be as simple as the Page of Cups, for example, or the Empress may come up. It depends. It's also, I think it's very important with all the things we're talking about, it really depends on the question that the person is asking.
Right.
And I think where the more specific the question, the better. So that really defining the question, and sometimes I work with the client extensively to help them define the question. They might say, oh, I just want to know about my love life, relationship life. And I'll try to drill that down and get them to be more specific. Are they looking for someone? Are they in a relationship? And getting them to be more detailed about what they're wanting. So that then when the particular cards do come up, then I can respond more specifically and let them know what I'm interpreting as the direction that things might be happening.
Very interesting. So your way of doing tarot in therapy is you ask the seeker to shoulder some responsibility to think a bit about what it is she or he wants. To really think
about
defining what they want.
Absolutely.
Out of the situation.
You want, and also what they might need to do. And many times I see people who, some people don't want to engage in this process, and I go with that by being a bit more, I suppose, literal and concrete. But others, you can see them going, they'll say, yeah, I know I need to do that. Yes, I've been thinking that I need to talk to that person, or yes, I know I need to leave them, or whatever the confronting situation might be. And they've really been hoping that the reading will say, oh, no, it'll all work out and you don't need to do anything. But many times the reading reflects back what's in the person's unconscious. And so I've had many clients say to me, their body language, they wriggle and they look down and they go, yeah, I know I need to do that. I've just been avoiding confronting that. And the cards will speak the truth for that person. I see myself, and I think many readers do, as really the conduit for what is coming from the person. And to a degree, you know, I at times do feel spirit, or however you want to term it, coming through me, where there's a sense of intuitively and the higher universe wisdom saying, no, this is the particular interpretation for this client, or this is what they need to hear or see.
Very good. Yep. Well, you know, we're going to pause now and take a quick break.
Sure.
We'll be back in 1 minute. I just want to remind everyone that the tips and tricks we're learning here are just skimming the surface. We don't have anywhere nearly, we don't have anywhere near enough time to get into the nuts and bolts of these matters. So if you're interested in learning that, go to globalspiritualstudies.com/tarot/Jenny Perlstein, and you'll find a detailed list of her courses, and you can learn some of the secrets to interpreting the tarot. Jenny, you mentioned the devil card before, and yes. You mentioned addiction in connection with that. And I, you know, I hate to say it, but one thing that just leapt to my mind was sort of masochism, being addicted to always being the one who's suffering in a relationship. Do you encounter people like that who need to be the one who gets hurt in a relationship? And could the devil represent that?
Yeah, many times I see that. I think the devil is often an indicator of that. If there's a lot of cups cards in the spread, maybe the moon is also the moon is often an indicator of just such confusion and deep unconscious issues. It has huge potential. In that circumstance where someone, you know, feels like they're the victim or has to be always the one on the receiving end of the pain, as in masochism, that I think that what's important there is for the person to, I really try to gently get them to see that, you know, you are worth more than that, that there's complexities here unconsciously that you're grappling with, that, and I particularly, some of the key questions I ask are some of the patterns in people's relationships, and by asking them, so, you know, what's been your relationship history, and who was the, you know, what were those relationships like, were they balanced, who ended the relationship, you can in a very course of a few minutes just get a really good picture. And many times people will come out with a pattern of, oh yes, I was the one who was hurt, or they, you know, they took all my money off me, or yes, they used to even be violent towards them, or they were controlling and possessive, whole range of different dynamics that might come out. But where I always have that transactional analysis framework in my mind of the parent child, where they have been like the wounded, damaged child in that relationship, and the parent, the other person, really being the controlling or abusive one. And the key with this, and this is where having either a background as a counsellor or training in these sort of areas, which I've got, is to look at the issues. All adult relationship issues come from your upbringing, and that's the truth that often people don't want to see or hear, but that's the reality. And particularly from when you're born till you're 3 years old, and even in utero, the family environment that you're in and grow up in, and that's the time when your brain is imprinted with those sorts of dynamics and issues that are going on both between your parents and from your parents towards you, and where there can be lots of difficulties with attachment issues to usually the mum, but whoever the caring adult is. And so, and people then I say, well, you know, how was your upbringing, your relationship with your parents, and get a general picture. And often when someone is having a pattern of being the victim or the on the masochistic end of relationships, there's often been a pattern of family dysfunction, abuse, and I use that very broadly because that often includes emotional and psychological abuse. And I have many people say to me, oh no, I had a good upbringing, and then I ask a few more detailed questions and you find out, oh no, Dad was really dominating, Mum was really passive, and then you can see the story unfolding of where they had that sort of dynamic model to them, because adult relationships are really trying to seek what you didn't get as a child, or to reenact what you had as a child with your parents, and unconsciously a part of you is trying to fix it, make it better, maybe this time the person will love me. So where there's a real pattern of someone trying to seek love from another person to try and heal their inner wounds from their childhood, and I try to draw that out in a reading, then that's when you can really start to say, hey, you know, this is not balanced and you are worth more than that, and I would be suggesting that you have further, deeper, ongoing therapy about this. Some clients want to hear it and some don't, but many do, and I think I think the clients that come to me are particularly drawn to that. Instinctively they sort of know that that's the way I operate and what I look at, and that can be very challenging and hard for the person, but ultimately it's the only way to get to the point of having healthier adult relationships.
Makes sense. So the devil card would be certainly a red flag that could lead to that, a sort of more serious type of progress. Now we're going to go ahead and take this opportunity to get to do our commercial, and we will be back in 1 minute's time.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
All right, you're listening to The Psychic Viewpoint with Jenny Perlstein. We were just talking about love, and we found some red flags, some green flags, but now let's turn to another area very important to people. Sometimes the people who seek us out, Jenny, are really depressed. They're having trouble focusing on their work. They don't have their appetite, losing their appetite. They're really stressed out. So when they come to you, do you notice sometimes maybe some repeat or trouble types of cards that might pop out for them? I mean, what are you looking out for with these sorts of clients?
Yes, again, a lot of the same principles apply that I've mentioned already, of really placing the client at the center of the reading. And I certainly have had readings where I can tell even just the person sitting there, and when they're starting to speak and they're just sounding so flat and unhappy, and they're looking like that in their body language and sounding like it, that then the cards come up that may represent a lot of struggles and challenges. So, and I know some of the obvious ones are going to be things like maybe the devil, but I also think, as I mentioned before, the moon often signifies very deep unconscious issues. Mm-hmm. There might be even the Seven of Swords, the Three of Swords, you know, a lot of past sorrow, the Six of Swords, where people might be grappling with grief, the Five of Cups, you know, also very typically grief card. So these are the sort of ones that might appear. The Six of Cups can also be quite significant in that it's one of those challenging ones in the Minor Arcana, because I think that it has a lot of mystical aspects to it, but on a very literal level, it has a sense of which it looks like, you know, a couple of children playing in the yard of a house. You know,
or, it is sweet,
and then,
isn't it?
Sorry, it is.
It's sweet, isn't it?
Yes, it's initially, but when you start to look at it more closely, it depends on the deck you use, but in the Rider-Waite, you'll see the cracks in the buildings, and that there's an adult there, but they're walking away, and, you know, the clothing is a bit bedraggled, and, you know, it's not as it appears, so that it often relates to past issues. And so if that may come up in for someone who's is quite depressed and overwhelmed with life. So it depends on the combination again. But it may the Ten of Wands might come up where someone's just so overloaded with so many worries and so many problems, or Nine of Wands where they're just feeling embattled and feel like they can't go on. Or the Eight of Swords is also quite a significant one where the person feels very stuck and can't move out of the situation. So there could be various cards that might come up. And then I really try to gently and sensitively work with the client, getting a sense of actually how despairing they're feeling, because I think that's important. I don't want to overload them. If I sense that they are really overwhelmed, I can remember having one client who it came out in the reading that she was quite depressed and had a whole lot of things happen to her. I moved right away from the cards, actually, because I could sense that she was just so vulnerable and so fragile, because the cards were looking incredibly challenging and quite negative. And I didn't want to load her with anything more in her life. And so we then talked about referring herself, going to her doctor, getting a referral to see a psychologist, potentially looking at antidepressant medication and so on. So, you know, I think you've really always got to assess the person in front of you primarily.
Interesting. You mentioned a lot of swords cards in there. Mm, what is it with that element that makes it so difficult for people?
Yes, because so often their thinking is what's also affecting them emotionally, and ingrained beliefs. It's not just, you know, we all think things that are a bit negative or pessimistic, you know, oh, I'm not going to get through this work today, or I've got too much on my plate. But when you start to get into deeper beliefs like I'm no good, or I'm not worthy, you know, my life is full of crap, all of that sort of thing, or I'm guilty about something. And often those beliefs are so deeply ingrained that you're not even conscious of them. And that's where I think the real risk of depression or deep anxiety, etc., can emerge.
Well, we're actually moving into the final part of our interview here, and I'd like to ask you a few questions about tarot spreads, because, you know, we focus a lot on the meaning of the cards, but isn't it true also that the spread defines the answer that you're getting? It contributes to the meaning as well. So what can you tell us about spreads, like your favorites, the most? I'm interested to hear this.
I have two particular ones that I use quite a lot, and I have to give acknowledgement back to my original teachers, and it's like they've stood the test of time. One I use is called the life spread, and I've modified it slightly, but it's where you look at the person's thoughts, their feelings, their spirit, and their health as the central cards, and then spread around that as a sort of outer circle. I look at home, work, love, and money. And so, of course, that's a great reading because it covers so many of the things that most people are going to ask about, particularly if someone says, oh, I just want a general reading. Yeah. That's a really good core spread that I use. The other one is just using major arcana cards, and I often do this one initially where I've got a longer time with the person. Just take their major arcana cards. I usually have a separate deck for those. And where we look at, it's just five cards, and where you look at where's the major energies coming from in the past, what's happening in the present, where's the future going, the person's personality and the environment around them. And that card, I find, is that spread is very, very powerful. And inevitably, there's a card at least, if not more, from that initial spread that end up in the life spread that I mentioned initially. And then the other one I use is called the horseshoe spread. And it's where someone has got a really specific, more complex issue. Often I might use the major arcana spread first, then the life spread, and then move into the horseshoe spread to get down to drilling down into a specific issue. So that spread covers the past, the present influence, a hidden influence, then an obstacle, the environment around the person, the action they need to take, and the outcome. And that can often, you know, can take a while to work through, but often gives a huge amount of insight. And then, of course, as many of us use, you know, clarifying cards around cards that might be a bit ambiguous or where we need to get more clarity around it.
Right, right. So the general idea is to assign categories, you know, this card is going to mean
in this, X. Yes, in this particular position, yes.
Right, and not change it. Once you've decided that it's going to mean X, it remains X.
And
then going from there. Now, I want to remind everyone that these extremely useful and illuminating spreads are just a few of the many that are in our toolbox. If you want access to more, if you have a problem and need a consultation, or if you'd like to learn more of these spreads and these techniques, you can find a list of her courses at globalspiritualstudies.com/tarot/Jenny Perlstein. You can also contact her at tarotastrocounseling.com.au. So, Jenny, this has really been an extremely informative hour for myself. I especially like the live spread. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, some of your courses where we could perhaps learn these spreads or learn some tips on being a better listener and counselor for our clients or loved ones?
Yes. The original course that I've done both face-to-face for people in Melbourne, Australia, obviously, but I've also got the online courses, is where I do one on counselling and mental health skills. And that's 12 sessions altogether. And that can be found on Global Spiritual Studies. And that's really gives a huge foundation. It's not to make someone qualified as a counsellor, but really focusing in on a lot of the techniques that often people are already using. You know, we read body language, for example, automatically. We're human. So, right. But the course, what it does, it brings out things so that you're more conscious of them and you can use them more consciously. And we cover everything from a lot of the things I've mentioned today, immediacy, empathy, and all the different schools of psychology, some Freudian stuff, right through to relationship issues, mental health issues, and sometimes the challenging parts of working with clients. And then I've got these shorter masterclasses that, again, I've sort of updated them from that more broad, fuller course, and looking at relationships, the secret ingredient to relationship readings, as well as one on difficult clients. And also one on the relationship between tarot and counselling. So there's quite a few that I've got at Global Spiritual Studies. And, of course, you can also go to my particular website. If you'd like to receive my newsletter, for example, please go to that website, Tarot Astro Counselling. Counselling with a double L. We use the British spelling in Australia.
That's right. I forgot.
Yes. Yeah, so just that little letter can make a difference. And you can go to that and you'll see the links to my Global Spiritual Study courses, as well as all the other things I offer, because I do tarot, astrology, I can do Skype readings, and then I speak at conferences. I've done some other USA radio interviews as well, and written articles and so on. So there's a whole rich wealth of information there if you want to follow any of that up.
I got to say, everyone, Jenny, we've flirted with the dark side tonight. We've been negative here. I want everyone to know Jenny is really a very engaging, optimistic, bright and sunny person. And I do believe she probably would have rather if we'd focused on the brighter side of life tonight.
That's okay. I have a lot of Pluto and Scorpio in my astrology chart, so, you know, I'm quite familiar with that deep, dark world.
Well, they say that's the mark of the healer right there. Scorpio is a very healing type of energy, so you're definitely doing the right thing in life, I would have to say. Well, that is wonderful. I really appreciate you joining us tonight here on The Psychic Viewpoint. And definitely, it would be worth your while to visit tarotastrocounseling.com.au to learn more about Jenny Perlstein. Jenny, thank you very much for joining us, and I hope you have a wonderful day down under.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to have been on the program, Stephen. Thank you very much.
Wonderful, wonderful. We'll see you next time for sure. All right. Well, now I would like to take a few announcements, okay, because this is only the halfway point of our show. We still have another hour coming up where you can get a free reading calling in live to the show. So stay tuned for that second hour, okay? Now, we're going to announce the call-in number later for that, so have your pen and paper handy. But if you are unable to catch Steve's mind-blowing interview with the Donna Cunningham last week, you'll be happy to learn that you can find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Never miss your favorite psychic radio show ever again. It's all there for posterity forever. Rush over to the archives ASAP and linger when you get there. Spread the links and future show details to your friends, to your family, around the internet. What we want to do is to connect with as many of you as possible so that we can share the light of our knowledge and the light of the knowledge of other psychics and professionals out there with all of you. So Facebook, share it, tweet it, get involved with the social media, help us reach out to as many people as possible. We need your help in doing it, and we need you to partner with us to share that light. Also, be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything related to metaphysics and spiritual matters for free. Everything from reincarnation, soulmate seeking, developing your own psychic abilities, it's all there. Psychicbloggers.com, please spread the word. If you need a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified, the most accurate psychics on the net, each with their own unique gifts. Every psychic has a detailed profile for you to discover more about them. You can choose from a list of a lot of different psychics with a lot of different specialties. It's an honor working with Doug and the Psychic Access team because of the high expectations that go on there at psychicaccess.com. All of the co-hosts here at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. If you'd like a detailed personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. Site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute, 50 cents per minute on every reading for traffic that's referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details and to check out the attractive suite of marketing tools we make available to you, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, and we hope that you do, invite your friends to join us in the chat room. We want all of you to participate in Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everybody, so spread the word. We very much appreciate it. And now, for the part that I've been waiting for, I would love to hear what my esteemed colleagues have to say about the topics brought up tonight. Maureen, let's start with you. What are your observations here?
Observations, huh?
And opinions and ideas. Yes.
Opinions, ideas.
The whole gamut. We want it all.
The whole gamut. Well, you know how I kind of go in that other direction? Well, you know, because I'm a Will, I'm self-taught, I have no regrets about that, but at the time, I said this before, but some people may not have been here listening to it. At the time, I thought, what a bummer, because I hear people having mentors, like, you know, talk, you know, like she said, she learned from somebody. I don't know about you, Stephen, or even Saadi. I don't know, but I'll soon find out. For me, though, it came from mental anguish, and I'm really open about that. And so she's talking about how she helps people. They're going through a really rough time. For me, how I found my work was, it was torment, but my journey was supposed to be as it was. So what I did was, I felt it was more than that. It was more authentic because, now I'm not saying, you know, anybody out there that reads, also I'm not by all means saying that this should be everybody's way or whatever, but, you know, I kind of pushed the books aside. And I was going through such intense stuff, and I knew there was a connection, because later on with the PK stuff and the shuffling, things moving. So I look at the cards sometimes, whereas I can, you know, and then I did, you know, I published something in 1989 with my own definitions. That was before everybody published things, right? It was hard to do. But with my own, and what I looked upon, it was with my, that's why I feel there are, they are a direct reflection of human experience, because I was looking at my own experience and I was going through such a difficult time and very depressed. It was like going to, you know, the steps, the 12 steps, mm-hmm. although there were 78. And it was really something that I drew pictures or sketched what I saw, that what I felt, and just looking at each card, it was beautiful. Now, I reverse as well. I don't sometimes, it depends on how I feel with a certain person. Like she said, some people, it's supposed to be the reading for them. Like, I loved how she put that, you know, as a way of, this is supposed to be what they're supposed to get. Or the next person might be the same cards. That's why I kind of just go off the cards. But I do feel very strongly about not reading for family or friends. Absolutely not. Never. Absolutely.
That's a no-go for you.
No, I'm too emotionally attached. Can't do it. I have to be so objective. It's real important for me, and I don't feel it's very easy to do. But I loved your guest. She was fantastic. Thank you.
Well, first of all, I have to say, I mean, as you well know, you know, the tarot is such a personal thing. I mean, it has a way of instructing you on its own, doesn't it, Maureen? I mean, it has a way of showing you. It forms a relationship with you.
Well, see, I didn't go into it with any – I didn't know what I was doing. So, you know, I loved tarot, but listen, I was given – I learned on the Aquarian deck. If anybody knows the Aquarian deck, it's crazy. Who learns on the Aquarian deck?
I've read a lot about that deck. It's complicated.
Opposed to the weight deck. Now, this is the thing. It wasn't – I mean, that deck's odd. It's nothing – you know, the gardens and stuff. It wasn't about that. You know, Steve, I had no expectation. It wasn't my motivation to ever, I wasn't learning to do this work. It was just, that was part of my journey. Oh boy, what fun. And it was by no means what I saw coming, but I felt I was, you know what? It was a part of me getting to be real honest about my crap. That was very difficult. From there, that's why, you know, there's some different types of tarot readers. I love the way you read, Stephen. But I have a hard time articulating because of the empath, but I get a lot. I don't need the cards, but the cards will pull stuff in. I don't know how to word it, what I'm feeling.
Right.
Be a color, well, something.
It's, I imagine it's, you know, sort of mystical and just hard to put into words. But I'm curious also, the people who seek you out and they're in pain, you know, how do you handle them? You know, how do you treat them? I'm just curious.
The way I look at things, I'm very caring. I have a very caring heart. Even, you know, you've heard my readings, and I'm not just making that up. I really can feel. I feel for people because I've been in such a dark place, really dark, and I know exactly that feeling. That no one should be shamed for that. But I also feel that people. This way, every negative can be a positive. I absolutely feel that definitely because I've made a lot of positives and the negatives. So. If a person just is open to listen, and I also record, I've been recording readings from the first time I went professional, 1988, that, from, they were cassette tapes then, but from that time on, I had feeling people, thousands of them, but that is, if people are open to just listen, because some people go, that would never happen, that's ridiculous, but just, I go, you know what? Just keep it. I'm not saying it's going to. I'm not right or wrong. It's not about me. Just keep an open mind in case this. Go steer your way. You know, go this direction instead. We have a choice. I'm not God. I am not God, and I will never proclaim to be either. So.
Right. Right. You have your way of reading the tarot is very, very psychic, which is very appropriate.
It's just a me thing. But, you know, I thank you, Stephen. But I like the way you read. I think it's great how you read, too. But. I don't know. I take it very seriously, but I have a sense of humor. But I take it very seriously, and I hope people are open to whatever I'm saying. I don't. I there's nothing. I try not to be. I try to be so objective, and that is the main thing we all need to focus on with tarot, because it can be so easy for people to play into it unconsciously, and suddenly they know it all, you know, and they're
right,
not.
Right.
And I think that can be very damaging.
You want to watch. You want to be careful for the zeal of the rookie, where you know you just learn enough karate to get yourself beaten up.
Yeah, because you could. Yep. So I just try to encourage people. I don't tell them what to do. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, before we move on to Satya, I'd like to get Satya's ideas about what went on tonight. I want to announce the call-in number for later on when we will be taking calls for the free readings. You can call in. That number is 724-444-4851, and each call will automatically be placed on hold so that and it's going to be answered in the order received. So you're going to be able to listen to the show. You'll know what's going on and all that good stuff. Now, when you get on to the air, we ask you to be as clear and direct with your question as possible. We can only take one question in the interest of fairness. So try to make it a sharp, focused question. Know exactly what sort of information you want to walk away from, and you'll get a better answer. Again, that number is 724-444-4851. Now, Satya... I wanted to get your ideas and your opinions about this. I don't know if you read tarot or not. I know you have a lot of skills, but I don't know what your experience is with the tarot. So I'm curious about your ideas on this.
Well, I actually don't read tarot in my readings. I do it for myself, but I consider myself a novice, and I really appreciate the fact that the way she made it was so clear. So somebody who doesn't know a lot about it was, you know, it was just really easy for me to absorb what she was saying. But I can say that I do it for myself, because as a psychic, I really cannot always see things coming my direction. And right. So the tarot sometimes helps me kind of as my own guidance. And I went through a difficult period as well. And every single time I got the star. And it helped me because it reminded me there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. And even though I didn't know necessarily the great detail that you guys do about tarot when I was looking at it, every time I saw that star card, I was like, there you go. Just get through it, breathe. There's a reason, and it's all going to be okay.
Okay. So that card definitely reached out to you, and you identify with that one. So you... The Akashic Records, that's not like the tarot, is it? You're actually accessing the direct source of some sort of divine power when you do that, right?
The way I describe it is it's kind of an energetic library. Nice. That's why I get people's first name and birth date. It's almost like a code that you type into the computer, and all of a sudden, all of this information comes up, and it's every thought, every motivation, every word, and every action you've ever taken in this lifetime and every other lifetime.
Oh, very interesting. So the Akashic Records are similar to the tarot in that it's a system of divination.
Yes.
A system of knowing.
Right. It's certainly something I tap into as a resource.
Now, I also would like to get your perspective, because a part of this show tonight was not only to introduce people to the tarot, but also to introduce people to the act of being a good listener, being a good counselor in an informal type of context. But you do it in a formal, professional way. You know, what are some of your guidelines for dealing with people who are going through maybe some of the worst moments of their life?
You know, I think one of the most powerful things is reiterating what they're saying in a simplified way so that they know I'm hearing it and I'm feeling it. And I always, you know, say, I'm sorry you're going through this. I'm sorry for your loss. I can feel your pain. Sometimes, you know, as human beings, you know, we're all connected, and just knowing that another person is going through this with us on some level and feeling it and hearing it really can be very profound for people.
And it also gives the person an opportunity to say, well, no, maybe you're not understanding my question. And it helps to clear that out before you go ahead and get into working, you know.
Certainly.
Very interesting. Very interesting. The Akashic Records are certainly something that I would love to hear more about at some future date. They do sound really, really interesting. And as a therapy tool, I would love to hear more about them. And they strike me as similar to the tarot as well. But who knows? I have to learn more about them. But we'll certainly hear more from you, I'm sure, about that subject in the future. Right now, I actually would like to get Steve's opinion about what went on tonight. Before we get to Steve, though, I want to repeat that call-in number. It's 724-444-4851. Again, it's 724-444-4851. Well, Steve, hello.
Hi.
Tonight we talked about the tarot, so I have some same questions I asked for Jenny for you. Are there any particular cards that you have bonded with, or that you seem to be more curious about than those?
I love them all, but I do. I find them all fascinating. Even the Tower card, Mars, and the Devil card, Saturn. I think they're all absolutely fascinating, and I find it particularly interesting to actually lay out tarot cards as well as having a client's astrological charts in front of me, because that just provides an enormous amount of information from spirit. And I think in answer to your question, there are two cards that really intrigue me. One is the Hermit. Well, three, actually. The Hermit, Aquarius, the Wheel of Fortune, Uranus, and the Fool, the Earth and Pluto. I find the Fool fascinating, and I love the imagery on the different decks. I know that the Aquarian deck is a really challenging deck. I admire Maureen for working with that one. But I just find tarot fascinating. Everything that spirit is behind is incredible.
Well, you did a foolish thing, a capital F foolish thing, an archetypally foolish thing by, you know, moving to another country, a foreign country, and setting up hearth and home there. You know, that sort of embodies the energy of the Fool, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think that the Fool, as well as at times being a fool or being foolish, not taking note of it, the napkin, the handkerchief, and its contents. Because for me, that symbolizes that the human being strides through life carrying the unconscious, the content of the unconscious, behind them, out of view. And we know that the great power of metaphysics is looking beyond the mundane physical world and opening up that that handkerchief and working with its contents, understanding oneself better and reaping the benefits of doing that, reaping the benefits alchemically. So I find the imagery of the Fool card fascinating, but I know as well that the Fool contains that spark of divinity. And when we listen to the urges that we receive, that we sense from that spark of deity, and we follow that intuition, wonderful things can happen. And then one of the wonderful things that's happened for me is I followed that spark of inspiration that caused me to accept a transfer to the US.
And it's the thing with the Fool, in addition to that newness, is that he doesn't really know that he's about to slip on that handkerchief and fall off the cliff. He's not aware of the dangers, because if he were, then that divine spark would be snuffed out. He wouldn't continue his journey. He wouldn't be able to reap the benefits of that inspiration. So the Fool, I like it too, because it requires courage.
And he doesn't usually look down.
Well, I know him better, okay? Sorry.
tell us more, tell us just, more.
You know what?
He doesn't look down. He usually looks, he's looking upwards.
Yeah, but you inspiration. Know, the Fool to me, I don't mean to interrupt, but this is a, you know, like, you know, we're all about, you know, interrupting. I'm sorry. No, I wanted to bring about something with the Fool, because I did, you know, like I said, I was self-taught, and, you know, and I read everything I could to, but the Fool always reflects to me, go for it, be fearless, you know, even if other people are saying you're a dreamer, you're an idiot, don't do that. And it's also, the Fool always reminded me the energy of a reincarnator that forgot everything from their past lives.
That's very apt. That is very, very apt.
That's my own definition. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not saying, I'm not pushing my things. I'm just wanting to give my little input on that, because, you know, that was a very, and zero is something. It's not nothing. So, yeah. And I agree
with you, Maureen, though, on the past lives, because when I refer to the that little handkerchief containing the contents of the unconscious, that's everything you ever experienced, everything we ever experienced, whether it's here or in other places, other lives. So I agree with you completely on that one. But I feel that taking that stick and turning it around and bringing that handkerchief within view and opening it up, working with it, that's when we really work with the power of the zero, the Godhead.
But you're looking at the artist view too. Like I said, I learned on the Aquarian deck, and that's just, I'm just saying, it's just a different way. The artist view, I can understand. I say you're a good fool. Well, we should all be fools and go for it. But I understand what you're saying with the different artist way of, you know, how they interpret their artwork on the cards, different cards. So we should all just jump.
They substitute different animals.
Yeah. That's a great thing. I'm glad I interacted, because I thought it would be nice to interact. And I get what you're saying, Steve, definitely.
Well, he is he is the beginning of the new cycle. So there's a definite aspect of reincarnation and rebirth, a springtime feeling about the fool. But I think the older one gets, the harder it is to take the fool seriously, because it's the proverbial wild hair up the butt.
Wait a minute, the older one. Are we talking because I'm the oldest one here?
No, not at all.
I know. I'm just messing. It's always about me.
The fool might tell somebody to start an enterprise, for example, or to pick up and learn to play the guitar.
That's right.
You know, the older one gets, once you get, a certain age, then you might, Saturn is going to look back on that and say, you're too old to learn the guitar. You're too old to start a business. But we're going to have to shelve this banter item for a bit, Maureen. I'm glad you did step up, because you are first up tonight with a call from Ohio.
Thank you, Stephen. Sure. Hello, Ohio. This is Maureen. And what may I help you with? Hello.
Hello.
Hi. May I have your name, please?
Terry.
Terry. Hi, Terry. And what can I help you with this evening?
Sherry.
I'm sorry, Sherry. And what can I help you with?
Well, I want to know if you see my oldest son, if you see that he has got a sickness.
Okay, you wanted me to see if your oldest son has a... I lost the last
sick.
Success?
Do what? Sick. Okay. You feel that he is sick.
Oh, sick. Did you say sick? As in...
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right. I do want to say I'm not a doctor, of course, but I will tell you what I'm picking up on. But just letting you know, because that's, I go by my ethical stuff. Okay, and he's your oldest son. I'm sure you're asking for a good reason, because I just feel... First, this is what I'm getting. there's a man energy around your son who looks like he's not on his best higher vibrational self. He's somebody that would be like on a good day, one that would offer opportunity. And I see your son trying to learn something really, or like a hobby. He's really into his project. Your son's older than 10, 11, 12. Is he older than that?
He's 41.
He's an adult, but it looks like he's trying to learn something really, or he used to even do something very similar. I see him using his hands, maybe with buildings. I don't know.
And he works hands all the time. He goes to the fairs and he pulls his truck. How you go to pull a truck?
Okay, you know what? I feel it's like. My feelings I'm getting is about this person that he's working, or this man who offered maybe this opportunity first, who is a wonderful person. We are colored by the people. I always say we are colored by those in our environment. If you're around negative people or people that are like difficult, it can be a problem. And he looks like he's very good about containing himself, but there's only so much someone can take. I do feel that he definitely is on... it's interesting. Your son's very grounded, but on the other hand, he's worried about he's not going to be given. I see a delay of monetary, or something that was, that he, on his where he was sitting, it was like he was told something about the money part. It's a very sad thing, because his opportunity is good, but there's somebody he's working around that is not really on the up and up, or he has issues suddenly. And has he been waiting for? It looks like he thought he was going to be getting, monetarily. It will come, but it's been delayed, and he's kind of losing trust. But he's working so intensely; he's real involved, and he just doesn't get where this man's coming from. Does he ever talk to you? But I think that could make him. That could stress him out. I don't see physical sickness. Again, I suggest, even what I'm saying, if you feel otherwise, make sure he goes. But stress can really cause a lot of problems in our physical life. I mean,
I've been through a lot of stress. I have lost weight, tearing me up.
I mean, stress is a number. I mean, it can kill. I'm not saying that I see that in him, but I do feel he's trying to keep it together. He's got so much going for him, but I do feel in the next 10 weeks there'll be some opportunity, maybe he'll have boundaries to go elsewhere, or maybe there'll be another opportunity away from what he thought. This would be great. But yeah, you know what this is like? I said earlier in chat, there's a useful sacrifice involved here. What I mean by that is, metaphorically, Jesus was nailed to the cross, but he got to resurrect. It may be very difficult for him, but I see a big time resurrection coming his way, which will be good. He's just hanging on, and it's not in a good place. He'll be okay. I feel it's you know, his personal power, he needs to take it back, grab hold of it, and he will. Mm-hmm. He'll be okay. But certainly go to the doctor as well anyway. I suggest his high, anything, you know what I mean? Encourage mm-hmm. him.
Yeah, because somebody okay. said they think he had that gout.
Yeah, but that could also be caused by stress related. Encourage him to go check him. Get, oh, yeah. Go drag him down and get him checked out, really.
But he's bullheaded. He's bullheaded.
I know that. That's why you need to drag him down. Or tell him that you need a ride and you need to go and
That's
get
right.
him in there.
That's right.
That okay.
To be for him.
Well, thank you. I hope I helped you. Take care.
Yeah.
Okay,
you too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Anybody on?
Thank you very much, Maureen. If so,
I think yes.
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Just want to let everyone know that if you want a reading from Maureen, you can find her at psychicaccess.com.
Hello,
Steve. You have a caller from Virginia.
Thank you. Who's calling from Virginia?
This is Shantae from Virginia.
Hello, Shantae. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, Shantae. Happy to have you with us. What's your question for us today?
Well, I have a question because, sorry, I have a cold, so excuse that.
Can you hear me there, Shantae?
I have a small cold, a little light cold, so I have, excuse me if you can't barely hear me. But my question is regarding my in-laws. For some reason, I just feel like they have a negative, they just don't like me. I'm trying to figure out why. Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Shantae, I apologize. I think my Skype crashed on me. Can you hear me okay there?
Yeah, I can hear you now, yes.
Good. Shantae, sorry about
that. Oh, no problem.
What's your question?
Yeah, I want to know about my in-laws, trying to figure out why do they dislike me. Is there anything I did to them, or what can I do to make it better?
Oh, it's funny you say that, because the justice card comes up. When I was listening to you just introduce yourself and say your name, a card fell from my deck, and it was a justice card reverse. So there is some injustice. I don't feel that they're being fair to you in honesty. They're good people, but they are the kind of people that would be awkward with their son's partner anyway. So I don't feel that you should take it overly personally, but that said, you're in the relationship with him and you have to interact with them. So let's have a look. Let's see. I feel that it's going to sort itself out, to be quite honest with you. I feel that when you first met them, the situation seemed good. The relationship seemed warm, and it's recently that it's been a little bit challenging. I feel that they have had some complications in life that's caused them to be a little bit down, but I don't feel that that's going to last, and I feel that you can build a good relationship with them, Shantae. I really don't see that it's going to last. So I feel that the situation will be resolved in a couple of months, about 2 months, maybe 3 months.
Okay, because I feel like they was pushing my husband to divorce me. That's what I asked. Do you see my marriage ending?
Do I see your marriage ending? Well, I can't take two questions from you, Shantae, I'm afraid.
Oh, okay.
Because
we're only able to take one
question per caller, Shantae. But I can answer that question for you on Psychic Access if you like. You can have a free 6-minute reading, and that's not enough time to look at that question for you. Or you can speak to one of the other readers on Psychic Access. They're all great. So go to the website and get your free 6-minute reading, and you can get that question answered. Or you can call back next week and we'll answer that question for you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Take care, Shantae.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for that, Steve. If you want a psychic reading with Steve, visit psychicaccess.com, and he will definitely get deep into whatever it is that's troubling you. Now we have a call for Satya from North Carolina.
Welcome, North Carolina. Hello? Hello? Are you there from North Carolina? Hello? Anybody there from North Carolina? Hello?
Well, did we lose North Carolina? Is North Carolina not coming through? Hello? Let's see.
Hello, is North Carolina still there? Well, maybe we have a little pause here.
Hello?
Great reading, Steve. Hello? Wonderful reading, by the way.
Hello?
Hello?
I just got unmuted.
North Carolina.
Hello?
Hello? Are you from North Carolina?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Thank you. This is Zoe, Margaret, and I have to take someone to court. He's a thief. He's working on my house, and a couple of my friends are willing to go with me, but do you see it worth the trip? I don't want to put anybody else through anymore or myself through anymore.
Certainly.
Hello?
Zoe, let me get your date of birth. It just helps me to tune in.
April 20th, 1958.
And did you say you also go by Margaret?
Yes, that's my name.
Okay, your name is Margaret. Okay. And when is the court date? I'm sorry.
Well, I have to go ahead and have them serve the warrant. I have to get the thing started first. But I have a couple people that are willing to go with me. But I don't want to take them away from what they're supposed to be doing. And myself also, if it's not going to be worthwhile. And I don't know if you see anything at all.
Yeah, I do think it's worthwhile because it's interesting that Steve just did a reading about justice, because that's what I'm hearing here. This is about justice. You know, sometimes people, when they're really spiritually evolved, Margaret, like you are, sometimes we are afraid to take people to court because we feel like, you know, somehow that's retaliatory. But sometimes that's the most valuable way to teach a lesson and also to teach people how to treat us. And also, it kind of jolts them. It's like they need to learn that there are consequences to their actions. And the most important thing I'm hearing, Margaret, is this, what this does. This is the most important thing about this case. It prevents this person from harming another person in the future. That is the most important part of the case. Forget about the money. Forget about anything else. Those things are earthly, superficial things. This person has a long line of people that they have hurt. I'm seeing them. A long line of people that they have hurt in the past. You're not the first. And I see a long line in the future. And Margaret, I think you are the powerful person to stop this to protect other people in the future.
Thank you. Okay, I'll do it then. Okay,
you're so welcome.
Thank you.
Stay strong.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Satya. Anybody wants a reading from Satya, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. Thank you. Now, I have a reading from North Carolina. Hello, North Carolina. Hello, is North Carolina out there? Let's see what we got coming through across the transom here.
Hello?
Just hold on for a
Hello?
Second there. I'm not sure if we have North Carolina or not.
Hello?
Hello, is this North... Okay, I think we're out of calls right now.
Hello? I think you've got me again.
Yeah, I think we still... yeah.
It rang me back for some reason, and I'm back on here again. I don't know why. Okay?
You got looped around a second time, eh?
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Good night.
Sure, thank you. Okay, I think we are actually waiting for calls to come in now. So again, that number, for those who haven't heard it or need it again, that number is 724-444-4851. And before, while we're waiting on those calls to start coming in, I think we were talking to Steve about the tarot and some of his favorite cards. And one card that he came up with tonight was Trump number 8, Major Arcanum card number 8, which is an interesting card because in my deck it associates with Capricorn, a fascinating sign. And I just wanted to get Steve's opinions about Capricorn and maybe the Justice card, how it might relate to the Justice card.
Well, Capricorn rules structure, government, politics, and materialism in my mind. I know that we'll have slightly different views on what signs and cards rule.
Right.
I think that when Capricorn is well integrated, it can bring safety and security. So the principle of having a government and having authorities in place or leadership in place is that they govern, mm-hmm. and they manage so that we are successful. And that is just in my mind. So it resonates with justice, but if it's polarized and becomes more about control or materialism or greed,
right.
or abusing leadership, the trust of the people or the programs, organizations that we lead, then it becomes unjust.
Well, you know what? We're going to have to table that discussion item for just a few seconds, my friend. I do believe I have a call waiting, coming from somewhere out there. Hello. Is anyone out there?
Hello.
Hi, how are you tonight? Who am I speaking with?
Hello.
How are you tonight?
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, what's your question?
Will me and my boyfriend last much longer?
Okay. Will you and your boyfriend last much longer? One second, okay? Let me get the answer to that.
Yes.
Just about there.
There.
Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to really last much longer at all. But it does have a little bit of life left in it, but I'd have to say that it's headed for a breakup, and probably sooner rather than later, unfortunately. So I would be expecting the worst with that situation. The only good thing that's going to come out of your dealings with the boyfriend right now is that you will have a better sense of your own abilities and power, because this breakup, and I do feel it's going to be there's going to be a breakup soon. It's going to empower you in a way. Okay. And I'd get this idea from Trump number 1, which is the Magician. So it's going to be a learning experience for you, but it's not going to be a very pleasant one. Unfortunately, I wish I could say that it will be, but it's not going to get you any closer. You're not going to get any closer to your ultimate goals with this particular man, which I'm assuming to be is a long-term relationship that makes you happy. That doesn't seem to be on the table, unfortunately. So you have to be a realist here with this gentleman, and you have to go ahead and I would imagine count your losses, maybe do a little troubleshooting. That's what the Magician is representing here, some troubleshooting, and find out where you went wrong. Now, I'd expect the next step here would be a heart-to-heart conversation with this gentleman coming up. I would expect that really to be the next step, and that's probably going to be when the bad news might get delivered, unfortunately. Certainly going after that big conversation, which is coming up here, I do see that you're going to be probably a little bit depressed. There's going to be a need for you to be strong. There's going to be a requirement for you to have things like perseverance and patience. But there will be ultimate success for you in romantic matters. Unfortunately, though, you're going to have to be disappointed with this particular gentleman, okay? I'm sorry about that.
Okay, yeah. I mean, everything makes sense. We did just have a big heart-to-heart, and it came up that he didn't really wish to continue the relationship. And it was like, you know, it hurt and whatever. But, like, as soon as that went through, he was right back to, I love you and I can't go on. But it's like, if he doesn't want to be with me, then that's what it has to be because I can't change his feelings. But he just doesn't want to see me with somebody else.
Right. A man's going to follow his words with the deed. And you're not done talking to him. What I saw is that you're still going to be talking to him. Again, that's the next step in this entire saga. But what I'm saying here, what I'd like you to take away from this is that the future conversation that's going to happen is probably going to be the, you know, sort of the nail in the coffin, as it were, for the relationship. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thanks for calling and I wish you the best.
All right, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have a call for Maureen from California.
Yay, my state. Woo-woo. Hello, California. Hello.
Hey, Maureen, it's Reggie.
Oh, hi, Reggie. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Like the weather, pretty nice weather we're having. It's lovely.
Well, just too hot where I'm at here.
Yeah, well, still just beautiful. And what can I help you with?
Okay, do you see me making any new friends in the next couple months?
Okay, you got friends all. Okay, all right, okay, Reggie. You know what? I feel that you're losing patience actually with this, with the idea of making friends, which I can. I guess what I'm trying to say, you know, making friends, the most important thing is having quality than quantity, mm-hmm. You know? And
that's what I'm concerned about, yeah.
Exactly. And what's happening is when we get like that, I've been in this situation as well, you lose patience and then it's like you feel like there's nothing out there. I guess. Mm-hmm. I do see two women, though. Two women. They look like sisterly. They look like they'd be wonderful. They're like sisterly feelings about them. I see them around your. It's in your reading here and what you're asking me. I don't know who they are, but they're friends. Exactly that. But they are very close and they're lovely. They're like people that. I know, Reggie. I don't know. Are you one that would. Like for some people, they can handle being friends with their opposite sex, right? You know, some guys can't. Or they say it's not possible. Are you one that says it's possible?
I think it's possible. Yes, yeah. I mean, okay. You can be friends.
But you know what I mean, because a lot of times people don't.
No. I think so. Yes, I can. Yeah.
Yeah, this would be really positive for you because these were. I feel these two women I'm seeing, and it looks like within the next 4 weeks. I don't know. Where they come from, they don't come from out. They're not from the mothership, but they. I feel that you may know of them, but you don't. Just maybe a little bit. They don't have any judgment. They're very straightforward. They're wonderful, and they just feel like they're great pal friends. And not only that, I do see as well. This looks like there's another woman here. Looks a little bit more the two other ones I'm talking about. They look like they're a bit youthful. Even if they're older, they look very youthful. The sisterly looking type friend types. I do see another woman here with very dark hair, that is a businesswoman. She's very articulate. Anything she puts her mind to, she does well. She doesn't worship money, but she appears to be successful, and I see her. Very much as like in a different type of relationship, or would be a different type where, as far as what you're looking at, somebody that would be wanting to encourage you to do something in the way of work, of something that you'd really like to do, which I feel would be lovely. It's like almost in a way. Now, I know that things seem kind of boring on that thing of loving, the lover type of feeling. It does feel like that will continue on. Like it may look like there's not much going on in that area. But there's a lot of positive energy with these women in general, that female energy in general, that I feel connecting with them in a quality way with female energy, it's almost like it's a direct reflection that later it just, you connect with somebody along the line better. And I don't feel that these women are the ones that I'm seeing that you'll have a romantic relationship with, but there's certainly ones that were going to open you up to some new things that I feel will be a completion of some sort, a cycle finally. Reggie, I'm also seeing that this will require patience, but this type of patience is well worthy of these females I'm seeing. You've lost your patience with some things, but if you can kind of flow with this. Also, I feel that if you have an opportunity to get into something learning, maybe unconventional, may not like really, you know, going back to school, college, or whatever, I feel that you need to gain some more knowledge about something that will put you on a deeper path or deeper meaning and will bring about better people that will be, you know, I know it's not conscious, but you'll be attracted to the people that you normally wouldn't be, and that will be the best sign.
There's good people, it's just hard to, you know, connect with them, you know what I mean?
Now, I know that, but also there's people
all
that you
around,
may not
but
think
it's
are
hard
good.
To connect.
Well, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's almost like a pattern. I don't think we try to do it. It's unconscious. We're obliviously walking, you know, Carl Jung used to talk, we're walking around obliviously unconscious of our consciousness. Because the thing of it is, I feel that there's something about ready to change if you're open to it, that you might find other people that you normally wouldn't be attracted to in any way, shape, or form, female-wise. Uh-huh. And suddenly, you're finding things are changing, it's different, and that's the key here. I know maybe I'm not explaining it well, but that will be the key that you'll know if you can reflect back on this reading, you'll know what I'm talking about. Be somebody, well, you're not really, you don't think they're, by eyeing them, looking at them, they're not your type. In reality, I think it's this, it's not that. It's, on the contrary, that's what I say. On the contrary, these are newer type of people that you will be attracted to, and these are the people that we are colored by our environment again. Good people. I see you attracting them. I'm encouraging you to be mindful of this.
Huh?
I'm encouraging you to be mindful. Even if you feel that, you know, I'm out of my mind. Mindful of those that you think are not that type that you would normally be attracted to. Be mindful of it, because maybe now this is a time, this is actually what you are. Maybe supposed to be more driven towards, but it's like and I'm not saying you just are getting into, we all have been there, attracted to the wrong people constantly. It's not like we mean to. We're like magnets. We pull towards us. And I feel this is a thing that you should lose patience with and carry on, but I do see some really good changes if you can be open to it and not be so judged and not judge so harshly. That's what I guess I'm trying to say. There's some really interesting things that I see you embracing if you choose to do so.
There's a lot of people here. There's a lot of people around, but it's just hard to connect.
Yeah, but maybe those are the ones that are not so hard to connect with. Maybe those are there's some that, Reggie, just kind of be mindful of what you're talking about. Like maybe you look at somebody and go, I can never connect with her. Maybe instead of going, well, I never thought I could connect with someone just by looking at her that way, and try to forget about the looks, you know, and go for what you would normally not. It would be out of character. Okay?
Yeah.
I hope that helped you, Reggie. But there's a lot of good things.
Well,
thank you, Reggie.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Maureen. If you want a reading with Maureen, you can find her at psychicaccess.com. And we are still waiting for calls. Those of you who haven't gotten the number yet or who need it again, it's 724-444-4851. And the lines are definitely open. Now, Steve, we talked about the tarot some. Maureen, you really sort of opened my eyes when we were talking about the Fool, and you introduced all these ideas about resurrection and rejuvenation. And so I'd like to ask you some more about maybe some of your favorite cards.
Well, you know, I want to say this. Your guest brought something up that I wished so long after I was getting involved with what these cards were doing for my life was a Star. And if I had only grasped hold of that one before, I think I would have been because I'm really upfront and honest to everybody here. I don't have a problem with it. I've been through a lot of, and I'm not bragging about it. I don't wish upon it, but it was very difficult from a young age. And as far as me, would you say you don't deal with delusional mental illness? Stephen, here I am.
Not qualified for it.
I know. You know our inside joke about that. But I was emotionally detached as a young. I was very sociable and happy and funny. But what people didn't know is I was in a way that I didn't want to be around really much, and it started at a young age. So, the star when she brought that up and it brought back her memory because when I did my own interpretations and stuff, it's so true. It's not about wishful thinking. It's not about the white light so much. It was about there's a way of hope, deep, deep sound, and to pull yourself up. Things will. You're not so bad, or you don't have to not like yourself. And I love that. But that's not my favorite card. I'll tell you, one of my favorites is a chariot and a tower, and they both in numerology are 7 and 7. My name is a 7. And they both go hand in hand with the chariot. It's going in the direction that you're taking control of your life. Mm-hmm. And the tower has to happen. And that was happening to me, you know, total disastrous. And most people will walk away from it. They don't want to do the work. And and that's what you'll hear about. People get divorced. They move on. They get married to someone else. Or they just don't want to do the work. It's easy in our culture. So the tower is something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, but if you go for it and build a foundation that's yours and rightfully yours, you'll never fall down again.
Absolutely. There you have it. Very wise words. Very wise words and true. And true. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Steve, you have a call from New York.
Thank you. Who's calling from New York? New York, can you hear me there? Is the caller from New York on the line?
Oh, I do believe we lost that caller, Steve. Sorry about that. The lines are definitely still open, so don't be afraid to call 724-444-4851. And Maureen, I really appreciate all the insights that you shared with us tonight, your comments, again, about the detail that you learned and advanced in the tarot, I think, is very inspiring, especially, you know, definitely there's no way to, there's no tarot university you can go to. So it's a hard school to get into, and you got into it, excelled at it, and now you're a professor, and rightfully so. But you know what? I'm actually kind of getting off topic here because you're doing the show next week, aren't you? You have something special planned.
Yes, I do. As a great guest, it's on, I'm going to say it right, feng shui. Did I say it right?
Oh, feng shui. Yeah, that's something I don't know much about and always wanted to learn more.
Well, you know, I found I took a lot of time looking for a guest. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to get a good one because, you know, there's a lot of people, it's complicated, and they don't know, everybody's heard about it, blah, 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 it works. Anyway, I got a fantastic guest, her name's Cheryl Grace, and she is, I couldn't have gotten the best guest for this show. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I think everybody will really enjoy it, and she'll be able to really convey and explain things for the 50 minutes we have that's more understandable to understand a bit more. So I'm looking forward to that show very much so.
Great psychic plus great guest equals psychic viewpoint. Wonderful, wonderful show we're going to have next. Absolutely. it's going to be wonderful. Looking forward to that next week. Well, this concludes another enlightening and enjoyable show. Big thanks to Doug C. working behind the scenes to keep everything running on track and keep all of us looking good. Thanks, Doug. Big thanks to Maureen and to Satya and Steve Frampton for adding their special magic to the mix tonight. And most of all, thanks to you, the faithful listeners, for joining us this evening and every Thursday evening, making Psychic Viewpoint an awesome place to be. Well, good night, everyone. From all of us to all of you, we wish you prosperity, health, and happiness. See you next week.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Just jump straight.